to some extent going out of the religion. Okay, we have this narration: لو أن رجلين دخلا في الإسلام فاحتجرا. If you are Muslim, but you break your relationship with other fellow brothers and sisters in faith, لكان أحدهما خارجا عن الإسلام حتى يرجع. يعني الظالم منهما. One of them at least is out of the religion of Islam, because if you cause this breaking of the relationship,
disunity is what you're causing.
To cause disunity between each other, at least one of them is out of the religion of Islam. Maybe this narration referring to that you are not considered to be a real Muslim. Right. Because you did not observe the rights of other brothers and sisters in faith. And another person, in other narrations, there is addition to this beautiful narration. It says that another side of the story, another individual is, also out of the, real Islam. Because that person could still, maintain the relationship. Okay, by stepping, forward and paying showing your respect to other side of the, person. But this person abstaining from that, and he didn't do that, so still other side is transgressive and considered to be out of the real religion of Islam.
Questions and answers on Islamic beliefs on IRIB English Radio. You can send your questions to englishradio@irib.ir.
So I want to say that, very briefly speaking, I want to say that both sides, for example, two people, two individuals, they break the relationship. Both of them, they are not from the, they are out of the religion of Islam. Of course, I said that maybe this narration referring that they are not real Muslim.
Right.
We are not talking about the legal issues here. Of course, they're considered to be Muslim.
But
in many narrations, there is the emphasis that they are not considered to be a real Muslim.
Muslim,
because they did not respect the rights of each other.
Now, Sheikh, this problem that we have in our society, perhaps it has become a much more widespread issue now with social media, with people isolating themselves inside their homes on their phones. But this narration, I think it's talking about this social problem, which is some call it the antisocial disorder, isolation disorder, and so on and so forth. But nowadays, we have people who can go on for long periods without seeing even their family members, or calling their fathers, mothers, brothers, and sisters, and so on and forth. And their logic is simply like, it's not urgent, it's not because I hate them, or there's a problem in a relationship. Either I am busy with work, with school, children, family, or they're busy and I cannot always get a hold of them. Would we say that what they're doing is also wrong, taking into consideration these different circumstances?
Of course, they are also wrong, to some extent at least, because all of us, we have some kind of engagement. Some of us in business, some of us in study, as you mentioned, some go to the university. So all of us, we have these daily activities and daily engagement.
Right.
But at least we can have some kind of, sending salam. At least you can call, each other and sending message. Very easily you can do, for less than a second you can do that. Why?
It's much easier nowadays than back in the old days where you have to go personally.
Yeah, exactly. So why we refrain from doing these kind of ideas, but we bring up some excuses that we are busy, we have no time. You see, all of that, excuses.
Right.
But still, we have some minutes at least to, you know, to have some kind of interaction via the social media and, I don't know, calling, and you can still have and maintain your relationship with your faithful brothers and sisters.
But all this emphasis in these ruayat and narrations has been about your fellow brother in faith, i.e. your friends. But what about family? Because I know many people who do not call their parents, for example.
Exactly.
They do not even send a message.
You know, they, actually, Salatul Rahim, your family members, those your close relatives or your blood relative, there are much more emphasis.
Right.
And actually, it is wajib.
That's actually wajib and it's a right.
Yes, it is obligatory to maintain your relationship with your family members. And it is very important. If you cut your relationship with your family members, actually, it is forbidden in you know, religion of Islam. And many verses of Noble Quran emphasizing on maintaining your relationship with your family members and with your relatives. But still, we have encouragement, as I mentioned, you know, and of course, we have many numerous narrations in this regard that you have to maintain your relationship with your fellow brothers and sisters in faith. And of course, you know that, I don't know how much this divine religion of Islam indicating the, you know, to have nice treatment and humanistic treatment with your fellow brothers and sisters. And still, I think many people enjoy when they're hearing that one religion, which is the religion of Islam, emphasizing on maintaining your relationship with your brothers and
being
sisters.
Being social, because Islam is a social
exactly.
religion, and people are social creatures.
And it is part of our religion, actually, you know. It is part of your worship. If you maintain your relationship with your brothers and sisters, you know, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you for doing that.
For maintaining
relationship. For maintaining your relationship with your brothers and sisters and, you know, respecting each other, asking about their problems and trying to have kind of help for them, providing some help for them. You know, these are considered to be part of your religion.
Sheikh, I just have one final question for you before we will have to end today's program, and that is that some people, they might say that I prefer not to speak to a certain person because either they have bad manners or they always talk about things I do not want to talk about, or basically they feel that the other part, the other person is uncomfortable to be around with, and so they indiscreetly, indirectly cut the contact. Would we also say that this is wrong in Islam?
You know, of course, we should go to different cases because cases are different.
Right.
But generally speaking, you know, we have some verses of Noble Quran that you should respect your brothers and sisters, even if they do not respect you.
Okay.
اِتْفَعْ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُ.
Right.
It means that you should interact your brothers and sisters with nice treatment, even if they do not respect and pay respect to you.
And of course, it depends on each case, but this is just a general ruling.
Yes.
And with that, dear Sheikh, we are going to have to end today's program. I thank you for your time, for joining us, and for spreading with us your knowledge. And I also thank the dear listeners for tuning in. Until next time, fi amanillah.
Inna fil jannati nahran min laban. Inna fil jannati nahran min laban. Li Ali wa Hussein wa Hassan. Li Ali wa Hussein wa Hassan. Inna fil jannati nahran min laban. إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسن لعلي وحسين وحسن كل من كان محبا لهم كل من كان محبا لهم يدخل الجنة من غير حزن يدخل الجنة من غير حزن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسن
Yusuf Jalali, Tehran.
Rubashavit, Gaza.
Jerome Hughes, Brussels.
Saeed Pourreza, London.
Rasha Saglam, Istanbul.
Saeed Amin Alemi, Kabul.
Shahana Bhatt, Indian administered Kashmir.
Around the world with reporters.
Thousands of Muslims have held a gathering in Pakistani capital Islamabad to celebrate the birth anniversary of Islam's holy prophet Muhammad.
The occasion is one of the key festivities on the Islamic calendar and holds a special significance for the Muslims around the world. The same goes for the people of Pakistan, who are always excited about commemorating this day.
The participants in the ceremonies say that the day provides Muslims with a great opportunity to understand the teachings and the message of Prophet Muhammad.
Prophet's teachings are still resonating in the society. This is a time to remember and follow the teachings of our Prophet and his family, who dedicated their lives for the great cause of Islam.
This day reminds us of the message of the Holy Prophet. He teaches us to forget our differences and live in peace and harmony with a sense of brotherhood.
In Islamabad, many of the public and private buildings, as well as streets, markets, and mosques, are decorated with buntings and illuminated to mark the auspicious occasion. Nasir Kazmi in Islamabad.
Green flags reading, "We are here, O Prophet of God," decorated the capital Sana'a to mark Prophet Muhammad's birth. Those who attended said this year's celebration is of high significance, given the perilous times Yemen and the rest of the Muslim world are experiencing. Some participants argued that there is a war being waged against the message of Prophet Muhammad and those who follow him.
We are here to send a message to the world and our enemies that our Islamic nation will never abandon our beloved Prophet and that we will always follow his path and the examples of our leaders from the Prophet's household.
The leader of Ansarullah, Sayyid Abdul Malik al-Houthi, also addressed the nation, calling for Islamic unity and adherence to the Holy Book of Quran and the message of Islam in an effort to improve the Muslim world. He condemned those who are in favor of normalizing ties with Israel and deemed them as traitors of Allah and His Messenger. Al-Houthi also called on the West to end their animosity towards God and all of His messengers. The Ansarullah leader also called on the Saudi-led coalition to end their war on Yemen, while also renewing his call to Yemenis to continue their resistance. The birth anniversary of Prophet Muhammad comes 1 week after the ceasefire between Yemen and Saudi Arabia officially ended, without reaching an agreement to end the war. Since then, Yemen's Ansarullah movement has sent numerous warnings to Saudi Arabia and the UAE to end the war and lift the blockade, or else face, quote, unprecedented consequences.
While millions of Yemenis take to the streets to commemorate the birth anniversary of God's final messenger, the message being delivered here is that the Maulid is not only a day of celebration, it is also a day of resistance against the decades of Western neocolonialism aimed at dominating Yemen and the rest of the Muslim world. Yusuf Mawdi, Sana'a.
U.S. President Joe Biden has signed a new classified policy that limits the country's drone operations and tightens the rules of engagement. This policy will limit drone operations in several countries where the U.S. has carried out many strikes in recent years, including Afghanistan. U.S. drones, however, are still flying in the skies of Afghanistan, and people are worried that deadly strikes could still happen any moment.
Of course, in this case, people are receiving the harsh impacts more than the government. Such attacks create mental conditions for us. We don't feel safe and always feel threatened. When they fly over our sky, they make the days and nights horrific.
Surely the drones make us worry. We know they have special targets, but we have also seen civilians being targeted too. When we hear them flying, we get scared, especially the children.
Back in 2017, the Trump administration replaced old guidelines with a looser set of rules for drone engagement that led to a 330% rise in civilian casualties in Afghanistan. A research by an independent media organization shows that from 2015 to 2020 alone, between 300 to 900 civilians lost their lives to U.S. drone operations. Experts say that even with the new policy adopted, U.S. drones in Afghanistan are still dangerous.
The U.S. government, according to its hegemonic dominance worldwide, is always after fulfilling their national interests. If their national interests require it, drone attacks could take place anyway. According to the policy, the attack permit only goes to a higher authority rather than commanders. Biden would sign the attack permit.
The aforementioned policy requires near certainty that a target is a member of a designated terrorist group and near certainty that no civilians will be killed or injured before pulling the trigger. But it still remains unclear what this near certainty standard means in practice. The precision of U.S. drone attacks in Afghanistan has always been under question. There have been many examples of misguided U.S. strikes. Notably, an attack just before the withdrawal of U.S. forces last year that killed 10 members of a family. People here are still concerned that they might be the next target. Abdullah Hamirzadeh, Kabul.
I'm heading with Donbass militia fighters to a frontline position outside the city of Donetsk. Ukrainian soldiers are only 70 meters away. I'm told not to film the skyline or any prominent markers so as not to give away their positions. The cramped living quarters are dark and dank. A fighter with the call sign Yidra, meaning the otter, gives me a tour.
We live here not in trenches but under concrete. These are destroyed buildings that we've old basements. It is all dug out by hands, down the narrow passageways and understand what it's like to be a miner. We live here, breathe this air. You can't survive artillery any other way. At least you can hide from snipers, but not from artillery. Big caliber artillery, too.
He shows me a picture sent to him by his daughter. I asked him what has motivated him to fight in these conditions for the last 8 years.
Because this is where I live. My mother lives 25 kilometers from here. I speak Russian. My mom and dad speak Russian. I was a miner here. It's my land.
A young fighter, barely 18. The grueling nature of this war is bringing a seamlessly endless wave of young men on both sides to fight. A motivational poster, it reads, Donbass was never made to kneel by anybody, and nobody will be able to do it.
We understand that the USA are ruling this circus. Europe needs to stop being their vassals. America doesn't care about others. Their only way is to be at war. And they build their domestic policy out of conflicts with other countries. In Syria, they played the card of radical Islam. And now they're playing the card of fascism. They need war's blood and cruelty. And they signed Europe up to it, too. They missed only one thing, that Russia will not stop fighting.
While there is raging ethnic hatred of Russians in Ukraine, after interviewing dozens of soldiers and civilians in Donbass, despite the war, I've yet to hear any ethnic hatred of Ukrainians.
We don't blame all Ukrainian people. Ukrainian people are our friends and relatives. Those who study this understand that one-third of Europe are cousins. Ukrainians, Belarusians, Slovaks, Poles, and Slovenians. They're all Slovak people. Ordinary people are not to blame for this. We think they're just corrupted by evil.
Out many Ukrainians who want peace negotiations with Russia, but are scared to speak up. Indeed, President Zelensky was elected in 2019 of war in the East. But the sad truth looks set to escalate further. Peace in Ukraine has never looked less likely than it does now. Johnny Miller, Donetsk.
Linked hand in hand, thousands of men and women surround the British Houses of Parliament, a symbolic act in solidarity with a man they call the world's foremost political prisoner.
is obvious for any observer, for anyone who is fairly looking at this situation, that this is an enormous, monumental injustice of a man who is being persecuted by the authorities, who are using the coercive powers of the state in order to try to punish him for doing the right thing.
That right thing was exposing American crimes and conflicts in Afghanistan and Iraq, for which he is wanted by the U.S. government. The now 51-year-old Australian, co-founder of whistleblower website WikiLeaks, has been locked up in a maximum security prison near London since April 2019.
To his many supporters, Julian Assange is an anti-establishment hero who's been victimized, and that his prosecution is a politically motivated assault on journalism and on free speech.
Organized by the Don't Extradite Julian Assange campaign, the human chain is not just about securing one man's freedom.
This has implications for pretty much every journalist who publishes material critical of the United States. If he is actually extradited and they succeed, then any other journalist in the UK or from around the world could face the same fate as Julian Assange, which would, of course, would be a strong discouragement to them to publish any critical material, and we get something like a chilling effect, basically, whereby the press ceases to scrutinize foreign policy of the most powerful nation on the planet.
And that powerful nation, under the Trump administration, it was revealed last year, plotted to kidnap or kill Assange as he sheltered in the Ecuadorian embassy in London. Earlier this year, the UK government approved the father of two's extradition to the United States to face criminal charges which carry a maximum sentence of 175 years. An appeal to the UK's High Court is underway. Assange's supporters say they won't relent until he is unchained. Saeed Purza, London.
People have rallied across the Yemeni capital Sana'a as well as other major cities to celebrate Prophet Muhammad's birth anniversary amid the highly alarming situation in Yemen. This comes days after the warring sides failed to renew a ceasefire agreement which ended earlier in October.
The relationship between the Yemeni people and Prophet, it is narrated in history books as well as the holy book Quran. Yemenis are the first to embrace Islam, old relationship. The anniversary of Prophet Muhammad's birth has become a holiday for all Yemenis. There is no single about this gathering.
Participants say they celebrate Prophet Muhammad's values and principles by honoring his birth anniversary, especially amid the Saudi-led war, which requires Yemenis to follow the Prophet's footsteps in the face of the coalition's tyranny.
The occasion of the Prophet's birth anniversary becomes more important year after year. It has become the first occasion and the first aid for Yemenis, although it's an occasion that all Muslims celebrate. Unfortunately, only Yemenis celebrate this occasion with this beautiful gathering.
This day is an annual event in which Yemenis renew their relationship with Prophet Muhammad and their love for the Prophet as he inspires us to confront the enemies of the nation. Today is also a political occasion from which the position of Yemenis is announced by the leader of the revolution, Abdul Malik al-Houthi.
Yemenis have always been one of the largest populations in the world to commemorate Prophet Muhammad's birth anniversary, as this day resembles their culture, which approves their love and loyalty to the Prophet.
The Iranology Foundation in Tehran hosted this conference to introduce Iran from the perspective of Iranian experts, as opposed to Western accounts of the country's culture and civilization. The biennial event brought together historians, anthropologists, and sociologists, aspects of Iran's
culture. The Iranology Foundation has been trying to introduce Iran as it is to the world, organized summits and conferences on Iran's story to study the country from the viewpoint of Iranian. Here we have permanent galleries showcasing Iran's handicraft and art. We also hold classes for students who are major in Iranology.
Iran is known for its diverse demographic makeup, which has allowed Persians, Turks, Kurds, Baluchis, and Arabs to live together for centuries, each with their unique culture, costumes, language, and lifestyle.
The West's approach on Iran is not based on realities. The so-called Orientologists in the West have maintained a top-down approach toward Iran. Fortunately, today this mentality has been abolished. Our country is full of beauties, from its four seasonal weather and amazing landscapes to its history of peaceful coexistence of different ethnicities and religions. These are the realities that are not reflected in the West.
With a population of more than 80 million, Iran is situated on a geopolitical area, bordering the Caspian Sea to its north and the Persian Gulf to its part of what experts refer to as the heartland of natural resources, including those to exploitation by different countries, the UK and the former Soviet Union.
Experts here believe Western media portray Iran as an isolated country and ignore its beauties. They believe there's a need to reintroduce the country to the world using the pen of Iranian experts to shed light on the bright side of Iran, from its mesmerizing nature to its rich culture and history. Yusuf Jalali, Tehran.
New jobs data in the United States showed a collapse of 1.1 million job openings, the biggest one-month crash ever outside of the COVID lockdown. It's also the first increase in the unemployment rate since April 2020, and that has many so-called recession deniers being forced to reconsider. The United States has had two consecutive quarters of negative economic growth, which is the standard definition of economic recession. However, in an effort to avoid the negative press the recession label receives, the administration of President Joe Biden claimed that a stable unemployment rate meant that the U.S. was not in a recession. That's no longer possible. Due to the so-called Uberization of the United States economy, the official data has long been accused of falsely portraying a rosy picture. The national unemployment rate is 4%, but many say the jobs available are part-time or lack crucial benefits like health care, or are poorly paid despite the current record inflation.
People looking for benefits, they want to work from home. People are not settling like they used to. It's just a matter of, I don't want to say laziness, but I think people are just, they're trying to get the best that they want, and companies are trying to hold steady and their wages, and they're not willing to pay as much because costs are going up for them as well.
Amid the backfiring of Western sanctions on Russia, many businesses have responded by cutting job listings, slowing the hiring process, and may begin mass layoffs. The widespread perception is that America's central bank is forcing a recession to reduce inflation, even if that means throwing millions out of work, out of their homes, and guts pensions, which are usually based on the stock market. The drop in jobs is the latest piece of data which shows a dangerously worsening economic situation for the average American. Wages are losing ground to inflation at a record pace, and an economically chaotic October could translate into a painful holiday season for many. Ramin Mazahiri, Chicago.
The night chaos and violence came to England's Islamic Center as marauding crowds, intent on raising more than their voices, lay siege to the usually peaceful premises. More than a week later, there is still evidence of the violence that boiled over. Amongst the victims that night was a longtime Quran teacher at the center who was set upon by a baying mob.
Suddenly, so many people were sitting there standing, started calling me and swearing. And shouting, stay, and surrounded me. And the other people came, starting hitting me, kicking me, and swearing, without stopping. And I couldn't understand. I was so surprised from them. So how can the people become this violent? One of them, he kicked me from the over my kidney, and I still have a problem with my kidney. And I went to the hospital, saw the doctor, and my knee as well. So it just had very big scratch in my knees and bloating. I still have problems with my leg, right leg, and I can't walk properly after 10 days, more than 10 days.
Said Mousavi is the director of the center and is leading the charge for justice.
The Islamic Center is following its legal path, and a case against the riots has been filed, and it is ongoing based on document and evidence.
Days after violence rocked the Islamic Center, there is still a visible police presence. And whilst those inside do everything they can to protect themselves and their loved ones, it's hoped that should there be a repeat of this atrocity, the authorities will do more.
Until those responsible are brought to account, there are still questions.
But why they did that in that time, I was so surprised. I think it wasn't only one group. I think it was very small groups of the people who were against Islam and against the humanity, and against their kindness, against... I think they were like this, some of them.
There is now a call for calm and dialogue as the only paths forward.
If you want people listen to you and respect your idea, you should respect the idea of the other as well. That is why I want to ask them, please come and talk and have a dialogue with each other. And then with the dialogue, we can listen to different ideas. And of course, even in Quran, we have a specific advice that tells us you should listen to different words and choose the best. But different word, not different attack.
Meanwhile, the Metropolitan Police is continuing its identification of individuals responsible for the anti-Iran violence that spilled over on British streets. Amina Taylor, London.
This is IRIB English Radio. Our website is www.parstoday.com/en.
Relation between unity and new Islamic civilization. In the name of God, salam and welcome to the program. Dear listeners, we are in the Unity Week. The Unity Week is the period between the 12th and 17th of the Islamic month of Rabiul Awwal. As it has been said earlier, this week spans the two dates believed by Sunni and Shia Muslims as the birthday anniversary of the Messenger of Mercy, Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. According to all researchers, the Prophet's good temperament was the element of his success in his mission as the final messenger of God to mankind. With his good morals, he gathered the uncultured nomads of the Arabian Peninsula around one reality, that is, the worship of God and negation of all idols and tyrants. This way, the Prophet unified people through granting them dignity and self-esteem and ruling out any ethnic, racial, language, and tribal superiority. Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny, was given the mission of guiding mankind and taking them out from ignorance and going astray. His first job was to present the teachings of monotheism to lead people to perfection and sublimity. His prophethood was like the shining of a lighthouse in the wavy ocean where no one can find his way. The leader of the Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, maintains that foundation of the new Islamic civilization is among the goals of the Islamic Republic system and that it would not materialize except with the unity of Sunni and Shia Muslims. He says, "The main index for the unity of Muslims is the issue of Palestine, and the more seriously the revival of the Palestinians' rights is pursued, the stronger the Islamic unity will become." The leader addresses young generation and says, "Shia and Sunni youths should know that the coordination, coexistence, consonance, and cooperation existing among them is a very great thing. This is the greatest weapon against the enemy of Iran, Islam, and the Quran. Let them know this and keep it. Today, any move that leads to the unity of the Islamic Ummah is blessed. It is a good work. The intention of the enemies of Islam is to create discord. The intention of us, the believers in Islam, should be the creation of unity in the Islamic world and among the Islamic Ummah." Dear listeners, unity among Muslims prevents discord and causes security. Unity removes sectarian disputes. If Muslims fail to respect the sanctities of each other, their lives, properties, and security will be at risk. This has been experienced in the past centuries and even during the modern times. Islamic unity has empowered Muslim countries and prevented the enemies from looting their resources. For the past decades, the global arrogance led by the US attacked Islamic countries under the guise of bringing security, whereas it made these countries insecure and massacred hundreds of thousands of innocent people and devastated infrastructures and civilizations. Ayatollah Khamenei said among the guests of the International Islamic Unity Conference in 2021, "Political and material powers have insisted for long to introduce Islam not as a comprehensive religion with programs for every affair of human life, but as a religion limited to individual practice and a belief in heart. And through theorizing it by writers and intellectuals, They have suggested that Islam is not a source of thinking and a practical guide in important issues such as civilization making and administration of society, economy and distribution of power and wealth, war and peace, domestic and foreign policy, establishment of justice and confronting oppression and rebels. God has promised victory to Muslims, provided that they put aside conflicts and disputes and stress commonalities and convergence. Ayah 46 of Surah Anfal reads, "And obey Allah and His Apostle, and do not dispute, or you will lose heart and power will be gone. And be patient. Indeed, Allah is with the patient." The enemies of Islam have kept forging spurious issues on Islam, the Prophet of Islam and his Ahlul Bayt, to cause discord among Muslims and pursue their nefarious goals. Islamophobia, that has been strongly pursued by Western regimes, is the stratagem of the global arrogance to hinder the way of unity and synergy of Muslim communities. Thus, the Islamic nations and governments must not let the enemies cause discord and conflict among them. Unity means moving and acting around common issues and refraining from bolding and highlighting of differences. The unmatched Arba'in March is a very palpable example in this regard. Some 30 million people from all Islamic denominations and even non-Muslims take part in this ocean of human world to prophesy the foundation of the new Islamic civilization. Imam Hussein, peace upon him, has turned into the fulcrum of unity of not just Muslims, but the entire mankind.
Start.
Movement.
Speed.
Live in hope.
Toward the pit.
On Youth Station.
Youth Station.
I am a Muslim.
I am a Muslim.
Islamite.
Islamite.
Allah my Lord.
Allah my Lord.
His word Quran.
His word Quran.
Muhammad Prophet.
Muhammad Prophet.
Praise be upon.
Praise be upon.
I am Muslim for all.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. A very warm welcome to Youth Station. I'm your host, Zainab Askari, and I have with me...
And here I am. This is Asma.
Thank you so much, Asma, for being with us.
The pleasure is all mine, actually, for being here with you and with the dear audience.
Asma, I'm growing old day by day.
Oh my God.
And
don't remind me of that, because I'm already aged.
Exactly, you should not have that feeling that getting old is not something good, but it's a part of life.
Yeah, it happens.
And we have been discussing that in our previous session. We discussed that how elderly people matter. I'll start, in fact, this session with the hadith we discussed in previous session from Prophet Muhammad, may peace be upon him. He said that elderly people in a home are like the ones, they are like jewels upon whom...
The source of blessings.
The source of blessings. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showers his mercy and blessings over them. So even if you are there, you will definitely get that barakat, that blessing, that mercifulness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So,
and they're kind. They're so kind.
Knowledgeable.
Yes, wise and so kind.
Kind, generous, I must say, generous. Because I remember my grandmothers, when they passed away, they would...
May peace be upon them.
They would, under their, deathbed, where they were sleeping for the last time or when they were ill or like
so
that.
Sad.
They would have collected money in the handkerchiefs those days and kept that for our schooling or for our jewelry or something like that. So they're very, very generous as well.
And they're supportive of the kids, you know. Just now that you mentioned the name of your grandmother, I remember my own grandmother. Whenever she comes to our home, I feel like heaven because she's there to protect us all the time. And, you know, whenever I sit with her...
Shield. She acts as a shield.
Yeah. You feel like there is an angel that is protecting you from every single thing. No matter how many wrong things you do, she's there to justify everyone that, okay, she or he is not doing anything wrong.
Yeah, we have some proverbs in our language, but I'll only translate them. They say that those who have ears don't have earrings.
Uh-huh.
And those who have gold earrings don't have, those who have very precious earrings don't have ears to wear it.
Yeah, we have the same thing in Persian as well.
All right. So why I discuss this here is because you have a grandmother.
Yeah.
So realize it. And
I know it. I know it.
Realize it more from
it
the one who
heart.
Does not have. Like, yeah. I don't know. I have not been much blessed to be with them for a very, very long time.
And you know, Zainab, every time I just see her, because she's the only grandparent that has left for me. Every time I just see her, I just feel sad whenever I look at her. Because I feel that, what if there comes a day that she's no longer there?
Yeah.
You know, when she comes to our home, the first thing that happens is that she would stay awake at night with us.
Okay.
And then just like us, she would participate in every single thing we do.
Really?
Yes. She's so nice and so cool. And she's just heart. I heart her, really. And the thing that I love about her is that the amount of kindness that she shares with us is unbelievable.
All right.
It is very much clear that she might be even loving us more than our father, who is her son.
All right.
So she keeps our head in her arms and then she would start playing with our hairs.
All right.
Which
and
is very
reciting
soothing.
Those old tales and putting you to sleep.
Yes, she's exactly like the grandmothers
the
in the
soothing
story.
Grandmothers.
Yeah. So I just wonder, when people say that when they just start nagging about their grandfathers or grandparents to me, I just start wondering. Of course, I know that sometimes the grandparents do not know the language of the children they're talking to.
I think
maybe this generation gap has taken them so much back that they do not know how to get into the skin of those new generation.
Oh, the other thing where the disrespect exists a lot globally, I think, is a point where you're not bad with your grandparents, but you're bad with your old parents. I'll repeat my words. When a son gets married, neither the mother-in-law is ready, neither the bride is ready to to get into the company. And now since son has to be in relationship with his wife and he has to make a new family and, you know, carry on life with her, he prefers her over her mother. This is something that's very common in the whole world.
Which is world. Very sad.
But I think problem exists over here, even as parents.
Uh-huh.
Especially as mothers. Mothers have to realize if someone is getting into their son's life, it's not going to take away your respect. You exist. Your position is different.
She's not a robber. She's not going to rob your son out of your hand.
Steal him, So this mentality needs to be there.
Yeah,
since this mentality is not there, you're getting old very, very soon. And you're actually pushing yourself very back. You're pushing yourself towards disrespect, towards loneliness, towards
that is very
true. Everything. And even as a son, you have to realize to maintain a balance between both.
Mm-hmm.
woman's heart is very, very delicate.
Yeah.
So as a mother, you have to respect your mother. And as a wife, you have some responsibilities even towards her. So you have to maintain balance. It's so much depends on a son to have, you know,
sons
balance.
Sons are the mediator between their women and their mothers.
Yeah.
They are the constructor, the person who's going to build that bridge between them.
Who has to manage, basically.
Yeah, who has to manage.
And even this daughter coming into a new family has to realize her responsibilities, has to realize the sensitiveness of a mother towards her son.
All what you say is that
to pay
not
respect.
Only the younger generation have to practice respect and respect their elder people.
I'm saying that it's not only grandsons or granddaughters who have to pay respect. The main bridge can be created by these sons who are getting new brides into their homes, and there's a distance between their mothers or their fathers with
and
the coming in of this new bride. And also these parents need to realize that a new person is coming, and the new girl has left all her family behind just to make a family with our son. So they have to give time.
So also these elder people, their behavior is going to act like a mirror. The way they treat other people, the others would just treat them.
Okay.
So for the elder people, it's going to be such a blessing to act like in a kind language, to be always so protective, supportive, and be kind. That's all. I guess when human beings are kind to each other, the world is such a better place.
Even as young parents, we realize that our kids need time.
Yeah.
They sometimes need to be, especially in the teens, they need to be like free and independent of their thoughts. It's not always you have to be lecturing, because this lecturing is something
that's
that distances
important. Yes, yes.
That actually becomes a cause of that disrespect.
Do not always stand in the place of a ruler.
Yeah.
Like we are in a school
lecturer.
And you are the person who is ruling me. This is going to be sad and
end up bad for you.
Yeah, yeah. You know,
so even as young parents, it's going to end up bad.
I have a perfect image of grandparents because maybe it's because I have had good experience with my grandparents.
Yeah.
Because they were kind, they were so fully mannered people. But I see some other people when they just tell you the stories of what happens behind the curtains when they're alone with their grandparents. It's just a horrible story. You do not wish to even hear.
Because that's because of the self-centeredness that is being taught to us through the Cold Wars. We have a film in Hindi. I would love to name. It's even translated in Persian and shown so many times. The name of the film is Baghban. No, the name of the film is Baghban, yes. Wherein it's shown that how much efforts parents made to bring up their kids, to
but
help
what they
them.
Get in return.
What they get in return.
Yeah.
And why that happens? Because they need a separate, independent life for
They're
themselves.
They're selfish. They start
and
to
they
be selfish.
Don't even realize that they are going to face the same phase tomorrow. And then when they see their parents again are getting name, fame, for like writing books, becoming author or something, and then they come
again,
back.
Again, they look
back. So that's actually money that's attracting you towards them.
Yeah.
Sometimes, no. Even if your grandparents or your parents in their old age do not own money, but they owe you respect.
And something which is very clear, and after that we would go for a short break because we're in desperate need of that.
All right.
Is the fact that the love of the elder people is unconditional.
It is.
There is
indeed.
No condition for it. But the love of children and the kids is most of the time conditioned. And yeah, that's it. Let's go for a short break and I'll be back in order to continue our discussion.
So stay tuned.
Yeah.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Youth Station.
Welcome back to Youth Station. This is Asma. Here with me, I have Zainab, my very dear friend, and we are talking about the elder
senior citizens and how we need to respect them. Asma, In the beginning, I think I told you, like, even if you're young, have you grown old? There are some people who are not very active, but you see old people jogging, walking, active, doing things, reading books. But you see young people sleeping, so lazy.
Yeah.
So would you call them old and call those old people, young people?
I would call those people elderlies masked as youth.
Okay.
I would not call them young people. But I have seen a lot of that, you know. And every time I see that, I feel motivated to do more and more because I say, just look at that guy at the age of 70.
He's running, jogging in the park.
He's writing a book.
Yeah.
He has that much of motivation to write a book, to, as just you said, climb a mountain. Can you believe that?
Yeah.
They have so much of terrible with their body.
They go for Arbain, you know?
Yeah, they go for Arbain. Which is a difficult journey, of course.
Yeah, of course.
And they do too much of outstanding things. I can't believe that, but still they do it.
Yes, so laziness is something that triggers you to be old mentally.
Yeah.
Basically, maybe physically you're not much old, but mentally you have actually grown very, very old because you're making yourself incapable of doing things.
Yeah.
Because getting old is becoming less capable, basically. So laziness is one of the factors that would determine that you are mentally old now. So in order to treat that, fortunately you can treat that, like this laziness is a thing which can be treated, so you can treat your mental oldness and come back to youth. But when you're physically old, you cannot come back to youth. But hey, if you grow old mentally, you can come back to youth. So mentally, I don't think a person gets very old with his age. Like, it's not important a person gets mentally old the moment he gets physically old. Mentally, people can even grow old very, very early age.
Yeah.
But physically or mentally, they can even be young at a very, very old age.
And it is a wrong notion to say that old people are the symbol of laziness, the symbol of sleeping too much,
not.
The symbol
of whatever. I have seen them jogging, I have seen them reading.
They're sometimes even more active than us.
Yeah.
So just to wrap it up, I would say that the elderlies and the senior citizens are the important part of society. We need all of them to be there to help us through their wise advices and to consult us.
So we have to remind ourselves that we are going to also go through that phase tomorrow. So the way we want to get treated tomorrow over there, we should be treating our parents or grandparents the same way. Do respect your elders.
Of course.
They are
the source of blessing. They are the source of blessing.
They're going to give you advices that is worth so many billions of dollars. Thank you so much, Asma. Thank you so much, dear listeners. Until another session, wassalamu alaikum.
Wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
From the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.